Jabril Frazier, defensive end, coming back, Chris, from three surgeries. They're going to play him at stud end. He had 38 tackles last year. He had four sacks. Had three different parts of his body, his labrum in the shoulder, his knee and his ankle. He went for surgery all on one day so that he was out one-stop shopping. Had to rehab three different things. And he was a guy whose production kind of went down a little bit as the season went along. But now, because they don't usually give injury reports, we know what happened to Jabril Frazier and know why his numbers went down.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds odd, though. You made it seem like he went to the surgeon with a coupon.
Yeah, he did. Like, hey, one-stop shopping.
Three for one here?
Yeah.
Is that possible?
Yeah.
We mentioned it a bit when you talked about the players that you're intrigued the most about. Mm-hmm. Heading into fall camp. I think the way we phrased the question, if you could get updates, unrealistically, but daily updates on one guy every day from Coach Harsin, which player would you pick? And you said Jabril Frazier, mm-hmm. mainly because of the fact that we need to see where he is. There's probably a wide range of health, being able to sustain a level that he's at from one day to the next, at such an important position as a stud end pass rusher. And we harped on the importance of getting pressure on the quarterback and how that yields forcing turnovers. So all that wrapped into your choice of Frazier.
And he talked about coming back from the injury. Again, surgery in the shoulder area, the knee, and the ankle.
I haven't thought about it at once. Since I got the surgery, I know it's fixed, you know. If it happens again, it happens again, you know. I just want to go out there and play full speed, don't think about nothing, and just play my hardest. The first day we put on shoulder pads, I did think about it, my shoulder, at least that, I did think about that. But now I'm just in the groove. I'm trying to get back, learn my plays, knock off the rust.
And he said, Chris, that the rehab was tough because the knee and the ankle were on the same side. And while maybe he could rehab one of them a little faster than the other, maybe if the other one wasn't ready to go, he couldn't do much. He had to sleep, not in a bed because of his shoulder. I mean, you think about how hard it is to come back from one injury mm-hmm. and one surgery. He's coming back from three.
Yeah, almost to the point where, like, I'd wonder if that'd be recommended for a normal person. Like, if you had three things that were wrong with you, like, not saying, like, he is on a football
right.
timeline,
right.
so it's a
right.
different,
right.
you know, different approach. Would a normal person be recommended to get three surgeries like
Probably
that
not.
The same
They'd
time?
Probably say do one and then come back a year later, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
I do know that if I had to have three, I had to have three. Because he said he was offered that he could have done one or two and then come back. In other words, split them up. I'm like, knock me out once and just do all three.
Yeah.
I would think that that would be better, and that's what he opted for. But to answer your question, I don't know. If you had, like, I know they don't want you to do two, when you're older, do like two knee replacements at the same time. I know they frown on that.
That sounds awful. Have to repair two knees like that at once. So, yeah, that's kind of where my mind went, is to, like, that. The rehab process mm-hmm. seems tough, but number two, he said, I'm not thinking about that anymore. Well, it's kind of disappointing when he has to talk to the media and everybody's like, well, how'd you overcome all these injuries? Well, I'm trying not to think about that. Stop bringing it up. Stop bringing up old stuff. So maybe he won't be talking to us very much if he's really beyond these injuries.
And we talked about the depth last year that got a little thin as the season went along. He's been impressed with what else he's seen in the defensive line, the position that Chris thinks is the position that needs to be real strong this year.
The depth right now is amazing. I've never seen this many guys that on the D-line can actually play football, you know. We had a lot of guys my freshman year. We had three deep, and that was amazing. And we actually went into that three deep. So, yeah, I'm interested to see how that goes.
How much does it help if you have somebody, like he mentioned Whitney at your position,
yeah.
where you could have somebody spell you and
yeah.
come back? And
yeah, that's a good thing. You know, having guys like Sam Whitney, Curtis Weaver, Issa, everybody that's competing for that spot, you know, it pushes us so more, you know. Even in the meeting room, we're competing to answer the question. So that's just a good thing, you know. Instead of one guy just being at the top and then he's getting lackadaisical, you know, not trying to work as much to get to be the best, you know.
I do think that the more competition to get out there, the better people get because you have to be better. But I'm going to go in the whole other direction. That if I can put somebody out there for five or six plays a game in a row and have them go all out and make the play and then replace them with somebody who's just about as good and let them go for five or six plays and then bring the rested person back, I think my defense is going to be so much better.
Yeah, I agree with that statement 100%. My only thing is, I feel like we've said the same thing going into a lot of these seasons, where going into the year, it looks like Boise State has two layers of defensive linemen that they can bring in and not have much drop-off. And then by October, we start to notice that there's probably some drop-off.
Yeah, and there's also some injuries to make things a little thinner. So you have less bodies to choose from, and you're right. You look at it and you think, wow, person A plays at a 85% level, let's say. Be the backup. Well, we only get 65 out of them when they're in there. So I'm going to try to give A little more playing time. And it really is sort of a math equation. How many more plays can you play A to get that higher talent out of versus B, where B comes in, they're not as good, but they're fresh and ready to go?
It's not too dissimilar to basketball. Like, going into a lot of seasons, you always hear coaches talking about, oh, we can go 10 deep this year, and then by the time you get to, you know, conference play starting in January, you settle on your 8-man rotation, and only 8 play, and somehow the other two didn't, or maybe it might be a different 2 that are the ones that sit out from game to game, but you're probably not as deep as you thought you were at the very beginning of the season.
Well, and also, I don't know that I've ever been with a season where somebody hasn't shortened the bench as the year's gone along.
Yeah.
Just because coaches get into rotation, they get comfortable with certain guys in basketball, time's coming out, you want whoever out there to, you know, take the final shot, make the final play. Well, I'm going to squeeze another 2 minutes out of...
Mm-hmm. Like, why would you want more Chandler minutes Hutchison on the floor when, you know, without Chandler Hutchison or without James Webb or without Derek Marks or without Mikey Thompson and Anthony Dremick? It's like, yeah, eventually you want your best guys out there as much as possible. And again, defensive line might be a little bit different.
Fine line.
As of an analogy, but I don't think it's too dissimilar to at least bring it to the forefront.
And Sam Whitney is a player that's playing the stud alongside Jabril Frazier. Those guys rotating in and out right now. Whitney is a guy that's name keeps popping up that people seem to think good about, and so does his teammate Jabril Frazier.
The guy, he's a hard worker. He's one of the strongest guys I've ever seen. For him to be that, like, 6'2", and you wouldn't even expect it. And I see him in the weight room. We lift together. It's like, it's amazing. His work ethic is amazing, you know. And he goes out there to practice, and he practices hard every single day. And we need guys like that. We can't take days off, because when we take days off, that's what hurts us.
You know what's interesting? Whenever you ask somebody, the majority of the kids, you have occasional guy that wants to talk about himself all the time, but you always seem to get a better answer when you ask somebody to talk about somebody else. Teammate. At least in the interviews I've done. You're looking at me like I'm wrong.
No, I mean, it's just, you've done more of these. I'm trying to figure out why. Like, I guess
people feel more comfortable talking about somebody else that's on the team, I think.
Okay.
So he's very high on Sam Whitney, and I think if those two guys can be playmakers and split the position and come in and out to give each one of them a fair amount of rest, I think it's going to go a long way, Chris, to getting more sacks and getting more turnovers and having that defensive line play at a high frame.
Now it starts to make more sense to me, because I'm thinking, if somebody brought a question to me, what are Bob Buehler's strengths as a play-by-play announcer? I'd be able to rattle off a bunch of these strengths. Mm-hmm. What is Chris Lewis's strength as a play-by-play announcer? I'd be a little less willing to
Right, but I would be willing to rattle off yours. Right? I mean, it's a lot easier, because it doesn't look like you're being conceited, and, you know, you can say whatever you want. You give an now, you do have the odd kid that will ask about himself, and you'll go on and on and on, but not usually.